Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Completely forgot about that. Yeah, you know, the reaction to that trailer amongst fangirls was really interesting. The everyone kept trying to construe it as a yaoi fantasy.
Wait, what are they
like, oh, so Captain America 3 is about how Steve Rogers breaks up with Tony Stark so he can be with Bucky, and I'm like,
this is very
But I don't know.
All right. Well, you know, people believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, that's, I think, the definition of a headcanon.
Yeah.
All right. Let's fire it up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Full of Sound and Fury Podcast, the internet's first, and I would assume only, sports and comic book podcast in the whole damn universe. Right? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's our thing. I'm just going to own it now. It's weird, but whatever.
It's the Cyrus Mortazavi variety hour.
There you go.
The Cyrus and Friends.
And his amazing friends. Oh, yeah, as I was just sort of introduced, I am Cyrus Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington. I get to be the host of this little shindig tonight. As we talk about sports and or comic books, with me from Stanford, California, is Riyad Wabi.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry. Okay, that radio voice it happens.
Also with us of Austin, Texas, Ariel Rodriguez.
What up?
Oh, yeah. Nice. You went a little Luke Cage there. I like that.
Sweet
that
Christmas.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
That we might want to talk about.
Jessica Jones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, except that Keyshawn's not here. But.
Oh, yeah, the infamous.
I oh, God. Can we just jump into this? Because, like, I have a story that I've been sitting on. Okay, I was talking to, like, some friend, person I know, maybe, on the internet about Jessica Jones. And unprompted, he claimed that in the first episode there must have been some sort of intercourse in an uncomfortable place, like the back of a Volkswagen. And I was like, dude, what makes you say that? He was like, it was obvious. I was like, okay, I think that's external validation of the long-standing claim.
I have long held that Alias Number One holds an anal sex scene for the listeners and God.
Before God and man.
But the first episode of television, Netflix's Marvel's Jessica Jones, I would say does not.
I see.
They definitely get down to it. By episode three, they're shagging quite regularly, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
That's how far I am in the series thus far. I'm liking it more than Daredevil, but to this point. Am I crazy?
Honestly, I think it's a higher quality show than Daredevil. I really enjoyed Daredevil. I still think Daredevil is an awesome show, but I think Jessica Jones is better in its first season.
I'm enjoying the hell out of the acting.
Yeah.
Whereas with Daredevil, I had a lot of problems with it. Not that it wasn't bad, but it was very uneven. At times they were really good. At times it felt to me anyway, very labored.
Yeah, I think the stakes, like what they were doing, and that there's so many things that Daredevil had to set up that the characters almost couldn't settle into who they are. I don't know if part of that's just the writing or the executive producers or what. But Jessica Jones feels like fully realized, like they feel like they're inhabiting their character and they're really acting, you know, as their character from episode one all the way to the end. Versus Daredevil, it seemed, like you said, Cyrus, was more uneven.
Yeah. Hey, and Carrie Ann Moss is a lesbian. I mean, that's I'm all for it.
You know, that character she plays, that's Iron Fist's lawyer in the Immortal Iron Fist series. So hopefully she'll cross over.
You did tell me that.
Yeah. Nice.
So have you watched all 13?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and let's throw it out there. Kilgrave, great villain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're really playing up on just how terrifying mind control can be.
And he does, like, there's a couple scenes there where David Tennant, like, pretty much says a Doctor Who line just to piss everybody off. Because he's doing it in the most villainous way possible. It's pretty hilarious.
Okay. I can't say I'm surprised. Marvel's been pretty good with the Easter eggs. That's cool. They're keeping that going. I guess there's going to be a season two. I'm a little surprised by that, I guess.
Really? Wait, you're surprised there's going to be a season two of Jessica Jones?
Yeah. I mean, the base series was like 30 issues or something.
Uh-oh.
And Kilgrave was pretty much the arc villain of the whole set piece.
True.
So, I mean, there's room for growth. I'm just surprised they decided to do that, but.
Do they have anyone on the writing team that's associated with the original shit, or who could carry it?
No, Bendis is busy on Powers.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he has an executive producer credit or something on Jessica Jones, but I don't think he was very involved in the writing or show running of it at all in season one.
Oh, he admitted as much on Tumblr, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They just, as the original creator, they kind of have to, you know, tip a, their hat to him so they're not douchebags. But yeah, he's busy over in Georgia shooting Powers. So now, and that one he's quite tied to. Still haven't seen it, though.
Go ahead.
I watched the first season except for the last episode, I think. It was all right. It's a definitely different tone. It's kind of strange. Especially watching it on my PlayStation only, but
yeah,
it was all right. Definitely not as high quality as the Netflix stuff, I would say.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's in starting to become available in wider release.
Okay.
At least I sure hope that's true. I don't know if Sony wants people to get on this board, they need to push it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Jessica Jones, we're for it.
You were going to say something, Riyadh?
I was just going to say, look, as long as they establish decent characters in the first season, like, they could almost certainly just drag a second season out of it by continuing character arcs without necessarily sticking with the serial thing. I doubt they would do that because comic book shows almost never do that, but actually that's not true. Like, I don't know. Usually comic book shows have like some overarching thing, but then also sometimes they do go into episodic content. Like, I mean, Smallville did that for a while, right? So I don't know. They might be able to turn it into an episodic thing as long as they have good characters, and who knows, maybe that would work.
Well, I don't know, Cyrus, what episode did you end on? Have you seen the whole thing?
Jessica Jones, I've only seen the first three at this time.
Oh, okay.
My assumption is I'll finish watching it during the Arrow Flash mid-season hiatus.
Okay, so you'll see how they make a second season possible by the end. They set it up way in advance. So
yeah. Okay. There's a Daredevil
villain that they've made a Jessica Jones villain. You'll know it as soon as he says his signature line. So that character will.
Ah, shit! I broke my stilts.
Then I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for that pesky Daredevil.
But he's a classic Frank Miller character. I think I'm pretty sure that's true. So that they've set up enough material, I think, for season two.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, what else is on the agenda? I'm sorry, I sort of forced us to jump straight to that in order that I could relate my story about somebody claiming, you know, making claims about Jessica Jones and anal sex unprompted. But
I will say I also read a review that said that interpreted that as well. So there are several third party, third, fourth, fifth party sources.
hilarious.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. No, I didn't interpret it that way at all. And I, you know.
I wonder whether Keyshawn did.
He only vaguely mentioned something on Twitter. He didn't really go.
Yeah, but rant. I think he implied that he did think that it was.
Well, he's always maintained that it wasn't.
Yeah,
he was as virtue of him being, you know, quote unquote power man. That being followed by power man is you're going to make faces and noises.
Well, look.
From when you're number one, that most people would associate with number two.
Yeah, look. And
from what I saw in episode one, and practices. I think that actually backs his claim up.
I see.
But the whole line, I won't break. Yes, you will. So, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well moving away from uncomfortable places, literally and figuratively. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Civil War, you mean?
Yes.
The Winter Soldier was awesome, but now it's Civil War.
Yeah, that's right. Oh.
And what's your feeling on this? Give me the hot take. One of you go.
Go, Cyrus.
Well, I don't think Steve is breaking up with Tony to date Bucky. Like I said earlier, I saw that online a lot, and I thought that was very strange. But
somebody's fantasy.
The action sequences, what we're seeing in there, look pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. The hero fight sequences, the little clips that they showed just look awesome. Once again, I think Marvel's just kind of taking it and running away with it. The Russo brothers know how to film action at Marvel movies better than I think any of the other directors that Marvel's chosen. I think the Winter Soldier has the best action sequences so far in any of the Marvel films.
That's the only one that they've done?
Yeah, so far. And they're going to direct Avengers Infinity War. They're the directors that they've chosen for those. So it's going to be freaking awesome.
Not only is it the best action sequences, but it's the one in which they've embedded it into a story most effectively.
Yeah. I agree.
And when your competition is Joss Whedon, And you beat him on the straight up twice, or you know, well, I guess Joss has had two goes around, and the Russos will be there pretty soon. But as you say, everything we've seen thus far looks pretty good. That beatdown where they tag team against Iron Man looks pretty hardcore. So
yeah.
And plausible too.
Yeah, I agree. And that the bevy of characters, man. Holy smokes. And they didn't even show all of them because Spider-Man is in the movie and he wasn't even in the trailer.
That's what I was going to bring up. I was a little surprised they didn't tease him.
I don't know. I think there's
some contractual shit going on there.
I think that's a 2016 hype train like thing. Like they hype the movie now on the holidays with this trailer. When trailer 2 comes out, like he'll show up at the end of the trailer or something and people are going to lose their freaking minds. And that'll be right before the movie comes out. So,
but, I mean, everybody who's already like a big, I see. They're trying to get the like normal people on board.
Exactly.
Whereas like the fanboys already know because they're deeply and intimately knowledgeable of the contract situation.
And we're back to Jessica Jones episode one.
That is not what I meant. No, but like, you know, everyone, if you're a casual fan, you might not know that, I don't know what the hell it is. Sony owns the rights to making Spider-Man movies, and so there's this bullshit that causes you, right? So,
oh, yeah. Your average person is wondering why Batman hasn't fought Captain America yet, let's be fair. And that's perfectly reasonable to be that person.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering that. Actually, no, I'm wondering why Batman and Spawn haven't teamed up yet.
Little known fact, Gotham City, actually in Canada.
So they have to fight, I don't know, the Alpha Flight, man. Come on.
Nice. Nice.
Where's Wolverine then? He's Canadian. Throw Wolverine at him.
True. That would be, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's actually happened at some point in some ridiculous crossover.
Batman versus Wolverine. Yeah, I mean, that's like sort of...
That didn't happen in the Amalgam universe back in the day, in the 90s or whenever.
Well, no, they crossed them. It became Darkclaw.
Oh.
I think I've had a mutant baby.
That's not as cool as having them fight each other.
Okay, better, Darkclaw or Tuvix?
Tuvix?
Is that the guy from Voyager?
Voyager.
Yeah. or is this
guy? Got it. That was the Neelix Tuvok. Transporter accident.
I thought that's when you ship those guys getting together. No?
No. There was an episode.
And we're back to Yowie.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I just smothered that topic. I apologize.
No, I just wanted to make the topics wrap.
All I was getting was like groaning.
Clearly we should have a Voyager reference at least every podcast. We had one last time. Almost certainly, right?
We were involved.
Well, Key kept giving me shit about my Star Trek signed picture thing that has B'Elanna Torres on it because it has all the engineers.
Nice.
And he was that. So there's your Voyager reference from last time because he wouldn't stop making fun of me for it.
All right. Keyshawn, much like a well-bred mastiff, grinds those bones to dust, man. That's what he does.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
So hold on. So back to the trailer. They showed Black Panther which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they show? So they had like the heroes running at each other.
Yeah.
Which was neat. They had the War Machine's back in the trailer. They didn't really show the actual villain of the movie, which is interesting. I'm sure they'll reserve that for later.
So I'm excited about that actually. I think that's a great casting decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. We'll see what how he...
I've got a lot of fondness for that character dating back to Kurt Busiek's Thunderbolts run from the late 90s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So for those listening, Baron Zemo is the villain for Captain America 3. So Daniel Brühl will play him. So it's just perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. Best known as Niki Lauda in Rush.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And he was in Inglourious Basterds as well.
No, oh, so probably better known from that.
Maybe. I don't know. Rush was pretty. I thought it did pretty well, didn't it? Maybe it didn't.
I thought it was excellent. I have no idea how it actually performed. Hmm. I mean, it had a Hemsworth in it, so that's always touch and go.
Wow.
Nice.
Oh, tell me I'm wrong. Come on.
No, I'm not going to argue with you.
Have you seen this one where he's fighting a whale coming out?
Wait, what? What movie is this?
In the Heart of the Sea. It's a story. It's a fictional retelling of the actually true story of the Essex, which is an early 19th century whaling ship that was sunk by a sperm whale. And then the crew, like... Several of the crew drifted for months and resorted to cannibalism, and like two of them survived or something like this.
Man.
So the Wikipedia entry on the Essex will give you a hair-raising tale.
A fictional account of real events, I think, is all you need to take away from that.
Yeah, but
so
I mean,
which Hemsworth was in it, Chris?
It's no, Chris. I'm sorry, you're right. Damn, I was getting backwards. Okay. Now Chris is busy like fighting. Pan Am or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I guess that came out and it's doing okay, but I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think those were my only other thoughts on the trailer. Oh yeah, and Thunderbolt Ross is back. So that was a great bring back of William Hurt from Incredible Hulk, actually reusing that character, which is awesome.
Yeah. All combined. Everything comes together. You got to love it.
Yeah, that's good use of that. Good use of that, I think. Why invent a new character when you can, you know, go back and you know, reuse. Especially
destroy the memories of older characters. Oh, sorry.
Well, I mean, the Thunderbolt Ross has been in the back burner, like in the shelf for, you know, almost since that since the beginning, because Incredible Hulk was one of the first Marvel movies, so Marvel Studios films. So
I did not realize that there was contractual stuff that was keeping another Hulk film from happening.
Oh, yeah, and then there's that, too.
Yeah, the distribution rights were tied up with another studio.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
And they're going to solve that by just making another Ang Lee Hulk.
Oh, God.
It will be awesome. Just like the first one.
So Hulk is...
It's me. I'm the one who likes that movie. Sorry. Yeah. Go. Yeah. I interrupted you.
The Hulk is going to appear in Thor 3. At least that's the rumor. So I think they're going to continue the story.
Ruffalo has basically confirmed it.
Yeah. So we'll have a film there.
What about Thor 4?
Four Thors?
Yeah. Could you fit a Hulk in a Four Thors movie?
Yes.
Well, then you have two teams of Avengers in Civil War. So.
Well, maybe Thor can be the green, or the Hulk can be the green Thor, because there's like red Thor, green Thor, blue Thor, and yellow Thor. I forget what are the four.
But no, we already know he can't pick up the hammer.
No. The the last one should be Lex Luthor.
Oh.
Oh.
Now we're ready for a crossover.
And segueing into the Batman vs Superman trailer.
We going into our third trailer here.
That trailer was...
And by trailer, I mean detailed Cliff's Notes version of the film.
yes. But it doesn't matter. That trailer actually made me want to see the movie.
Well, I'm glad to know that on this very podcast earlier this year, I wondered, you know, aloud, what was going to be the third act of this film? And now I don't have to wonder anymore. That MacGuffin is just roaming free right across just miles of devastation, evidently.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay. I mean, we knew that they were going to have to team up. Like, we talked about this not that long ago, right? We knew that they were going to have to fight some villain, and the you know, it would have to be this big thing, and then, you know, that villain would probably carry over to another movie. And I mean, it makes perfect sense what they seem to be doing.
Yeah.
And like I said, it actually makes me kind of want to see it. But
yeah. I think basically a character that basically is Doomsday is not a bad way to test those three characters, so... Not a bad call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about this interpretation of Lex Luthor?
Well, he has a lot of hair.
Yeah, that's that.
I do like that.
He's going to lose it in the final fight.
I'm glad his motivation isn't real estate like it's been for the last five Superman films.
It's good to own land.
So, you know, there's that.
Okay, that's all right. That's a step up. That's two step ups. We full head of hair. Got the Hozier take me to church thing going on, and number two, no longer interested in beachfront property.
He's got to diversify his assets. All right, he can't just be in real estate. You have to diversify.
Yeah, looks like he has a lot of money in Kryptonian death beast futures.
Hey, man, if you destroy the city, you rebuild, then you destroy the city again, you rebuild. If you're in construction, what's going to pull up?
Pretty good. Yeah, he's buying some Caterpillar before he starts
exactly.
Death Beast project.
Superhero got you down? Call Lex Luthor Construction.
Exactly.
All right.
And, of course, you know, Wayne Enterprises will be happy to supply whatever. Technological advancements are necessary. So everyone really benefits here, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, that movie has some potential.
It does. I'm seeing enough here to be intrigued. I don't know. I'm not hopeful. I think it's probably a bad thing to go into this thing with. But Goyer is... He's juggling a lot of balls, but I think he might have pulled it off. But the structure makes sense. There's definitely some levity, it looks like, especially from the second trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little less grim dark.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of humor. Yeah, a little bit of humor in there.
I think Affleck looks pretty good as the Bat.
I'll give you that. I agree.
Now, did you notice they fucked up his voice though? Again. That apparently is just going to be a thing moving forward at Legendary Pictures. Batman just sounds weird.
Yeah.
It's because you're not listening with the ears of a bat. If you listen in that range, he's totally normal. Everything's fine.
He sounds like Orson Welles.
The French.
Red champagne.
Known for the excellence.
Right. Yeah, no, they're just like they took some fire from the Christian Bale Batman voice. They're just doubling down. They're like, bitches, every Batman from now on will sound like this. Yeah. Very, very. I don't know. It sounds like he's got like a cold and some sort of.
The microphone sounds like it's his mouth is what the problem is.
Yeah, also that.
Batman is all about that bass.
So they do this on Arrow as well, but nobody seems to complain about that when they do it on Arrow, because I think they mix it up enough, like they change context. Like,
well, we're also busy hating Katie Cassidy.
Wow. Okay.
Oh. I feel so bad for her, though. When she has to do the canary scream, she looks so absurd.
Yeah, kind of. They haven't used that very well. I'll give you that.
Yeah, well, it's just... she has, like, a screech prose, and it's not good. It's not flattering. It's not even a little bit hot.
Yeah. They did a good job in the cartoon. Why can't they use those same shots
on the show? Her baton foo also looks very awkward to me in the fight sequences.
Yeah, they don't have the choreography really down. And every time they change a director on the show, like the choreography kind of changes.
Mm.
They have one guy, God, I forget what he directed before, but he's more of an action choreography guy. So there have been a couple episodes that are really good. And the last episode was pretty good as well, but it's a kind of mixed bag. Like sometimes it's just like, what are you guys doing? I don't know. It looks very slow and kind of weird.
So you enjoyed the Legend of Tomorrow pilot crossover such that it was?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed extremely fast-paced. So, like, there were times where I'm like, man, we are just forcing this. Let's go. Like, all right, we need the Green Arrow. Why? We need him. It just don't ask. don't question.
Listen, there's a time slot tomorrow night that we got to fill.
Yeah. Like, do you see the logo on this show? It's had an arrow in it. We got to fucking do this. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The Hawk people don't really interest me very much, to be honest. Like, I'm not interested in their shit.
It's Egyptian dudes with wings. There's not a whole lot of substance there.
It's just, how like, dare you?
Not compelling.
No.
But, Barry's always great, and Oliver's always great. And watching them, like, their other people cross over with each other is always fun.
See, I that was kind of why I was curious, because I was hoping maybe you'd touch on it. I actually find that I really don't enjoy them. I think in order to, like, they really play up the contrast to the point where Oliver comes off as a complete dick.
It's true. He does come off as a dick more often than not.
And he's not that guy, except when, during the Flash crossovers.
Yeah. I think, like... Oliver is such a like dark person that like it doesn't he contrasts with Barry too much. Like even if they played him to type, like the mix isn't good. Like they'd have to plot it differently to like play to both characters' strengths, because it is kind of strange.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it has its moments. I like Felicity and Cisco and all those people crossing over. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Watch them do their thing.
Yeah, Cisco pretty much steals any scene he's in.
Yeah, he's good.
he's fantastic, and that could have been a really lame character. So good on him.
Yeah, and I remember people hating on him in season one of The Flash, and like
people were wrong.
Yeah, they are wrong, and the Harrison Wells, they've rebooted that character in a really great way too. I should mention. Because he's awesome, even though he's a dick. He's awesome.
It's Tony Stark before the moral epiphany.
Yeah, more or less. I guess that's a good way of describing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm enjoying the Flash immensely this season. Arrow's been pretty good, but yeah, I mean the crossover, as you said, was really busy. But the 12 fucking characters of service, it's just that's tough.
I will say, though, the guy that plays Vandal Savage, perfect. Fucking perfect, Vandal Savage.
I'm not familiar with the source material enough to know, but I liked him just fine, so, yeah.
The whole ancient Egyptian thing is kind of crap. He's supposed to be a caveman that gained immortality and intelligence, and so he's lived since the prehistoric times. So making him like an Egyptian priest kind of thing, I felt was kind of lame. But other than that, he played a very good character.
Does he have an Ugik Mektach?
He has a trench coat full of knives. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. not quite the same.
He doesn't part his hair in wings either, unfortunately.
For style.
But he's like if you watched Vandal Savage on the Justice League cartoon or anything like that, he's very similar. He's very cool, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to Legends of Tomorrow, gentlemen?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'm not like super excited for it, especially if it's all Hawk people all the time.
It's all Hawks all the time.
All Hawk people all the time.
Oh God.
I think we're ready to.
In the future, the world is ruled by birds, and we need you to go come to the future and fight them.
Yeah, it's the turkeys, man. They rule the world.
No, it's the chickens.
The great circuiting. Yeah, forget about that.
Christmas still sucked in a way.
I am looking forward to this mid-season finale for The Flash, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, all right, sweet. We're actually getting a real Rogue War type episode. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be really cool.
Yeah. To everyone wondering where Luke Skywalker is in The Force Awakens, turns out the answer was The Flash. It's where he's at.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's got a lot of work this year.
Yeah, he really has. Mystery solved.
So, speaking of Force Awakens, has any more become public? Has any more information become public, or are they still like just holding everything tight to the chest?
No, dude, it's on constantly. I'm having to like hide my eyes from the television.
Really, I I'm not so plugged into.
But I still don't think like major plot points have been revealed at all. Like the plot is entirely hidden. Like they have scenes and the characters kind of say things, let you know what they're like, but I have no freaking idea how that movie starts or how it ends or anything in between.
It's pretty much the exact opposite of that Batman versus Superman trailer we just saw.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're just going to give you a little bit of tease of the character and some scope and that's it. We're not going to hold your hand and walk you through the damn movie in 90 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that makes me scared about that. Not to go back to it too much, but that Batman Superman movie it's entirely possible that it will turn out to be basically like not any better than the trailer. That happens with movies a lot. Often comedies are the ones that suffer from that. So at least we'll get some action sequences. But like, there's every year there's like two or three comedies where you're like, oh, I saw the trailer for this. Yeah, all the funny jokes.
Yeah.
So,
thanks a lot. There's something about Mary. I can pin it down to one movie where that started, and it was that one.
That movie is unwatchable now. Like, I thought it was funny.
It was unwatchable then.
Well, fine. I thought, maybe I was wrong, but I thought it was funny the first time I watched it. It does not bear rewatching, like, not even a little bit.
That was one of those flicks where I just did not understand why it did well. That might be my number one of all time. Like, why is this movie, like, popular? I don't get it. I didn't laugh very much outside of the funny parts that are in the trailer.
Dumb and Dumber for me is the one that's like that.
Yeah.
I just cannot see why people think that's a funny movie. I can't take it.
Yeah, it's got some parts that make me laugh, but overall, I think that's a really good pick.
What do you guys think about the Zoolander sequel? Have you guys seen the trailer for that?
I'm pumped.
I haven't seen the trailer. I saw a poster for it, and the poster was pretty funny because it made it seem like it was a perfume ad rather than a movie thing. It was pretty funny. Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, the original Zoolander was funny as hell.
I saw the trailer.
It looks really impressive given how much time has passed. That it looks like it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, they let a decade and a half go by, and you know, and now it looks like they've actually managed to like, well, we have to work around this and make a sequel. So this is what we're gonna do. It looks pretty funny. I'm definitely on board. It comes out in February, is that right?
I don't remember.
I think it's soonish, but yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I'll take it. I saw The Good Dinosaur this weekend, which is something unexpected, you might say. It's not really in my wheelhouse, but you know, we had
How drunk were you?
not zero drunk. We had a you know, research group outing, and we all went and saw it, and it was better than I expected it to be. Which you might say, okay, well, damning with faint praise, but like, no, Pixar films are always have some charm to them, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, I'm not surprised you liked it. I'm surprised you saw it.
The animation was pretty good. Mm-hmm. The voice acting was solid overall, and like, Sam Elliott was fantastic.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. No, I knew there was a Sam. There was a Sam, and then I was like, it's not Sam Neill. Yeah, Sam Elliott, the cowboy, was awesome. It was sort of a Western, which was not what I anticipated. You know, the sort of lost, finding the way home kind of thing, but it had a distinctive Western feel to it. And yeah, it was good. It was like nicely animated.
I think I
not too long.
Yeah, Exodus with dinosaurs. was it close? No. All right.
Close enough. Yeah. So it was. I mean, like, look, don't like rush out to the movie theater immediately after this podcast. Or I do if you want to.
I'm dropping the mic right now.
Go. but yeah, it's like a fun little thing. I don't know. I mean, it's not. It's not like I'm trying to think. What are the best Pixar films? Probably people would say Up was one of the best Pixar films, right?
I think that's a real favorite.
Toy Story obviously gets high marks from most people.
1 through 6.
Yeah. Which one? Because there were 8. yeah. What else? That one that came out last year that got super great reviews, but I never saw it. Inside Out. It's about feelings and stuff, and I don't know. Anyway,
I think Up is the answer to your question. I think that's the most popular one that's not strongly affiliated with Disney.
Yeah. So anyhow, this one probably does not rate up there, but you know, if you're a Pixar fan and you remember what was that it was not Pixar. It was the other animation studio. They did DreamWorks? That, like, yeah, maybe it was DreamWorks. Was it called The Incredibles?
You're thinking of either The Incredibles or Big Hero 6.
I think it was The Incredibles is the one that I was thinking of. That one was like, you know, it's probably along that line in terms of quality. Like, it's watchable and entertaining for the most part, but not like Shrek good or anything like that.
I like The Incredibles, but I held the opinion that I think it's kind of overrated. It doesn't really have an well, the villain's lame. It, I guess is what I'm hinting around.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, but yeah, if I have to watch an animated movie tomorrow, it's going to be like, I don't know, Transformers, obviously. No, Shrek probably is like.
That's DreamWorks.
No, I'm aware, but I'm saying, like, if you have to pick one, probably Shrek is the best one in that whole genre, right?
What genre is that?
You know, kids' movies that adults can also watch, I guess. Animated movies for...
Isn't that Star Wars?
Animated, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I guess, no, the clone... What was the animated one? The animated Star Wars movie. It wasn't awesome, but it was okay.
That was a series.
No. There was a movie, too. Dude, Ari, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there was. Now I'm trying to think of what the animated Star Wars movie was. Was it Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah, Star Wars: The Clone Wars is a 2008 American computer animated military science fiction space opera action film. Holy shit, this is a lot of modifiers. No, there was a film. Look at, dude, look at the Wikipedia entry for this movie. The first, I will read it again and more slowly. Star Wars: The Clone Wars is a 2008 American, all of these words are now links, computer animated military science fiction space opera action film. Wow. That takes place within the Star Wars saga.
I need clarification on film. Could you click that for me real quick?
Yeah.
What is that?
No, it's action film is, action the, is film. The link.
Oh, well, I know about in space.
Wow.
Yeah. So this film is set during the 3-year time period between the films Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. Okay. Yeah, and it had the little girl hero, right?
Yeah, who's the main character in the TV show that came afterward.
Yeah.
Oh, so they did like a big, a longer one, basically.
Yeah, it was like the movie first in like 2008, and then according to IMDb, and then the show came afterwards, I think.
Oh, somewhere key listening to this and just like, oh my god, I'm going to kill you all for not knowing already.
Whatever.
didn't I go with some of y'all to this? I'm pretty sure I went to see this at Regal Gateway 16. I seem to recall that. Yeah.
I don't remember going there to see this. I don't remember this movie
podcast
at all.
So. Not brought to you by Regal Gateway 16. Don't go
because they won't pay us.
Yeah, fuck those.
Proud unsponsor a full of Sound of Free podcast.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I don't know. What do you think? Best, like, as an adult, best animated movie? Your favorite? Could be DreamWorks, could be, you know, Pixar, could be whatever.
Does classic Disney count?
Sure. I mean, why not? Why would we not?
Listen, it's okay. It's your game.
No. I was thinking more modern, but like, what counts as? Are we talking like Beauty and the Beast here? Is that classic, or are we talking like Snow White?
Like someone drew that shit with a pencil, not a rigging it in fucking Autodesk Maya.
Beauty and the Beast then doesn't count, right? That one was all computer, wasn't it?
And that's pencil.
Oh, it is. I thought that was after the transition to.
That was the first one they colored digitally. We've come a long way in a very short time.
Man. Does Batman Mask of the Phantasm count?
Dude, look, who am I to say no?
Because that movie is awesome, and it is animated.
I haven't seen that. Am I blessed for first time having seen it?
What? That's the only Batman animated series film they made, like, that came out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really good. It was dark as hell. Like, dark for even for the show.
Way darker than Zack Snyder movies?
Okay, well, let's yeah.
Oh, we call it absolute zero dark.
Nice.
Zack Snyder films.
Yeah, I never saw this either.
It's good. It's worth checking out. He beats the crap out of the Joker, like.
Yes, Batman does.
Yeah, but like, I think that was the first one where they showed blood. Like they actually showed the Joker bleeding after the Batman just beat the crap, and people actually died. Like there was an actual assassin killing actual people. Like that was unheard of in the animated series itself. Yeah, they implied it a lot, but they don't think they actually did it. But like in the movie, they did. So anyway.
Very nice. Okay. Well, it's probably on Netflix, right?
Maybe. It was for a while, anyway. I don't know about it right now.
Well, we can go to that video place that didn't have Assassins.
Oh, like, God.
No, that place is gone.
Because it didn't have videos. People wanted to watch. That's a problem with their core demographic.
It was a lack of Assassins that brought them down. It's just the demand was too high, and they couldn't keep up.
Just like Eastern Civilization, a lack of Assassins brought it down.
I fucking hate that place. I'm so angry. I can't let it go.
Yeah. So, any other trailers come out?
feels like that's all I've been watching lately. I've been trailers. And then, you know, the CW, weirdly enough. I like just figured out the original is a Vampire Diaries spinoff.
Oh, what?
That's awesome. Yeah, right? Thank you. Yeah.
Hold on, back up. What's the originals? I don't know anything about
really, this. Really, Derek? We just went over this.
No, but like, where's it coming out? What the, I mean?
Oh, it's on CW after the Vampire Diaries. It's parent show.
Ah.
Yeah.
I see.
You think of it as Fear the Vampire Diaries. It's a direct spinoff.
Oh.
Where are you guys at on Steph Curry as being, you know, a human, post-human, basketball playing cyborg? I mean, I don't want to do with this 21-0 run where he's literally putting up numbers that no one has ever fucking seen before outside of Chamberlain and Jordan's best years.
Banner year, man.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
I'm trying to check the score right now because the Warriors are playing and they beat Brooklyn, so the streak is still continues.
22-0.
And what was Curry's stat line in this?
Let's find out.
I think like his lowest point total this year was like 33. That's his lowest point total at night. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's freaking crazy.
He's got several 50-pointers.
He has, I think he's 28 points tonight.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, what a fucking slacker.
That means they have the game in the bag and in the third period.
They won by 16, so.
It was the Nets, wasn't it? So like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they still owned by a Russian, the Russian mobster guy?
I believe so, you know.
I believe that is true. But speaking of New York teams, the what's his name? Kristaps Porzingis is actually not bad. The Knicks dude.
Oh yeah, like,
They were like, damn, we got fucked. We didn't, I mean, like, New York was in an uproar when they had to pick fourth or whatever the fuck they were picking in the draft. And this dude is like pretty good so far. So
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Crashes the boards on the offensive side really well.
But they one of the dangers was that he wasn't going to be much of a defender, and I'm guessing from what you've just said, or I'm inferring from what you've just said, that maybe that's the case.
That's okay. I mean, he's 20 games into his career, so there's still time for him. I mean, for the first time in a generation, the Knicks have hope.
Yeah.
Well, unless you count Lynn's sanity, which was a ridiculous 2-week span that I still don't fully understand.
Yeah, blind squirrel finding an acorn over and over again. Although he's not terrible even now, but
no. He's playing okay for Charlotte right now as we speak. I mean, not literally as we speak, but this season.
Yeah, but I mean, nothing like that 2-week period, right, or 3-week, yeah, whatever it was.
Out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, and also do the ESPN staffer who got fired for the most ridiculous headline ever. Concerning. Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
I feel like I know this, but I've forgotten.
The headline was extremely racist, and they put it up on ESPN.com. It was "Chink in the Armor?"
Yeah.
Oh. God.
Somebody thought that was a good idea.
Trump. Man. Oh shit! I'm sorry. I didn't put it in the form of a question.
Yeah, exactly.
I did know that. I didn't forget it so much as banish it from my memory. That's a different thing.
There's some things you just have to repress. That's just how you get.
Oh yeah. Oh god.
What does one do?
I don't know. I don't know how you beat the Warriors right now, though. It's kind of ridiculous. I still go back to like a replay from last year's finals where they had LeBron on Steph Curry, because LeBron, being the greatest player, you know, could guard a point guard from the power forward position. except he couldn't. It was just like, it was like watching Arrow fight Flash on the CW all over again. faint left, and you know, LeBron's desperately trying to stay away from this son of a bitch who's, you know, four times as fast as he is and half his size, and it's just like not happening. He pulls up and shot a three-pointer to finish that story, by the way.
Yeah, the crown may be starting to pass here a little bit.
No, seriously, dude. Look at the statistics here.
Yeah, it's
I mean, but yeah. And James is still a force for sure, and really fun to watch, and a unique freak athlete. But I don't know, Curry. It's like at the end of the Matrix when Neo can finally see the code. and now you believe he cannot touch him. That's the level he's playing at right now. It's kind of just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know how you stop that without, you know, a pipe wrench.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's hope he stays healthy, because, like,
yeah,
he is a little smaller, and, like, you wouldn't want a Derrick Rose situation there.
Yeah.
Or a Nancy Kerrigan situation. Hopefully not. Goes,
that's kind of what I was suggesting, right? I think. Yeah. It's the San Antonio blueprint, but instead of, like, you know, 30-year-old Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, it's with 20-year-old Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. It's far more, even more devastating.
Far more exciting, yeah.
Yeah, when you have, you know, guys that aren't in a wheelchair.
It is true.
They're like, ladies and gentlemen, your San Antonio Spurs, they all come out on wheelchairs.
Creak.
Then they all get a cortisone shot and stand up. That's like how it goes.
They throw aside their walkers. They're ready to go. 5 minutes later, they need them back. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for Duncan.
Yeah, he'll just go on forever.
I guess that's kind of what he's going to do. I was in North Texas recently for the holidays, and I went to a couple Mavs games, and Dirk Nowitzki is, you know, still good. They have to play him sparingly. He doesn't want to have his legs anymore. But Duncan is a year older, at least, I think. You're older, longer in the league, and he still moves pretty well.
I am forever. I am immortal.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of that going on there. It's kind of all. That's a different kind of ridiculous, I guess.
The rim will hold.
Yeah. Is that holding?
Yeah. I think I gave up on the Seahawks a little early, based on the last 2 weeks in football.
Yeah.
They're showing some offense. I think the move at offensive coordinator from Daryl Bevel to Macklemore has really worked out for them.
He's definitely popping some tags right now.
Well, you know,
but, you know, whatever.
That's a bad man in the pocket. Bad man in the pocket. Whose end zone is that? It's Russell Wilson's end zone.
Nice.
I can't explain it, but they finally opened up the damn offense. Like, you know what? We have a really good quarterback. Maybe we should leverage that asset.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck was going on there early. They had some injury issues on the offensive line, didn't they?
Well, they're just not very good on the line anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think what actually kickstarted it, and I mean, Macklemore jokes aside, is Thomas Rawls has come in and taken over for a Marshawn Lynch that I don't think has it anymore.
That's
crazy. That little bit of return to a running game has opened some stuff up for them.
It's crazy how fast that went, because the dude was still scary last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, he's a 30-ish running back who takes a lot of contact. So.
Yeah, no, it's true. You expect him to go downhill, but then again, Frank Gore is still kind of chugging on.
Yeah.
They're about the same age, right?
I think Gore is older.
Yeah, that might be. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Carolina's still undefeated.
Say again?
Carolina's still undefeated.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. There were some.
Oh, you know what? We should talk about, because now that, since I have a Patriots fan on the line, I want to talk about that Denver game.
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather talk about that than the fucking Eagles game today. Jesus Christ.
Well, weren't you guys just beat up and you had some like breakdowns?
Yeah, but still, that's like kind of shitty.
But you're like, yeah, it's the Eagles, though.
Exactly.
I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I felt like I was being beaten by some fascist county sheriff. That's okay. Yes. What happened in that game? There were some pretty bad fucking calls in that game.
Said it on Twitter. That was a fix. I have no love for the Patriots, but they got fucked. There's no question. The NFL is like, no, you're not going 16. No.
It's just, I mean, some of those calls were just crazy. Yeah. But,
and the timing, whenever Denver like kind of had to have a call or they're going to lose the game, and it's just there's no way it's coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is just the fact that you're playing at home, so the home team gets calls, and some of it is, you know, sometimes coincidences.
Sometimes it's a middle finger up Belichick's ass. I think that's what we saw. Yeah. Oh my God, he was so good in the post game. I got mad because it's the fucking Kobe Bryant announcing that he's not good at basketball anymore, even though we all knew this anyway. Like preempted like that, and oh my God, Belichick was so pissy and surly. I didn't catch the question. But his response was, I don't know, what do you think?
That's so awesome.
Deadpan and angry. I was like, oh my God, yes, that's what I was looking for right there.
That's good.
And then we cut away to Kobe Bryant speaking Spanish in an interview. Great, thank you. Wonderful.
Well, I mean, look, at least he's I saw something that said that Lakers tickets immediately became more valuable when he announced that he was retiring. Which, but, yeah, I mean, it sounds hilarious, but I think what's really going on there is people that want to go see him for the last time, right? But,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, it sounds much better when you think about it the other way. Actually, no, because I think that both this season's tickets and next season's tickets got more valuable. So half of that is actually really funny.
Well, no, it follows from the first one. Kobe's going to continue to shoot about 25% and lose to teams like your Philadelphia 76ers, inexplicably, which means they will end up with like a top one or two pick.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And they're excited about their new badass looking next year.
It's
all right, guys. I got this. I got an exit strategy for you. I'm gonna take my $30 million off the books every year, and I'm gonna make sure you get a really good pick. I'm gonna shoot 76 times a game.
One's not gonna be enough to save that team is the problem. They're gonna suck next year too.
Oh, I'm hoping for it. That keeps me warm at night.
Yeah, no, it's true. That hatred is nice. Speaking of hatred, I got the greatest email the week before Thanksgiving from Stanford Athletics. The email's subject line was, "This is a week for giving thanks, eating turkey, and beating the Irish." And at first, I was like, "All of them?" But then I realized it was because we were playing Notre Dame, and so. It made a lot more sense, but still, beating the Irish
made a little more sense.
Well, you know, they're the Fighting Irish. Anyway, that was a victory that made me feel super good inside, because I hate Notre Dame. I don't even know why I hate.
You're just saying that because you're forced to watch them every Saturday for 30 years.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Basically, yes. But yeah, but the fact that that Stanford beat them was awesome. Yeah, that's I don't know. Last night's game was also fine, but Notre Dame was the important one. If only Stanford had beaten Oregon, life would be better in terms of like playoff things. But what are you gonna do? So.
Well, allow me, since we're talking about college football, allow me to offer my sincere condolences to Paxton Lynch, the quarterback of the University of Memphis. and the future first number one overall pick of the Cleveland Browns next year.
You think the Browns are going to be picking at number one?
Did you see the Baltimore game?
Oh, that was so awesome. Oh, my God.
That was
God.
So Cleveland. The word is Cleveland, not awesome.
Oh, my God. Just the way that game ended was ridiculous.
Against Baltimore's third stringers, because that's who they have left.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Although the kid that they brought in because they refused to play Johnny Manziel was not that bad.
I praise indeed.
Wow.
But my favorite sign was there, and this is in the Cleveland Browns Stadium, mind you. It says, well, it's okay. We still have LeBron. Oh,
that's awesome.
Just like, if that doesn't tell you where they're at as a fan base, I don't know what does.
That's so great. Manziel's gone next year, right? Like 100%, right? Are we?
Oh, listen, he and Jerry Jones are on a collision course. The likes we haven't seen since the 1998 film Armageddon.
are we about to see Johnny Football in a Cowboys uniform?
It's totally there for the taking.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I cannot wait. There's something so delicious about the idiot, the foibles of Jared Jones.
Well, I'm excited for the MTV reality show starring him and Greg Hardy.
Yeah,
that's a buddy drama. It's not the one we need; it's the one we deserve, though. Well, as long as we're saying things that I have to cut out the podcast later.
Don't you dare cut this out.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that musical interstitial.
You better have played Dead and Bloated in that musical.
Nice.
Maybe I should just make like a Patreon reward tier and it's just all the horrible stuff I cut out.
Nice. Yeah. I thought that my idea for that buddy cop show was great. Thank you very much. listeners, you will never know what Pirate has taken away from you. That's pretty sad, Scott Weiland, and you know, I mean, are we correct in assuming? Do you assume as I do? Let me put it that way: that it was some drug related thing, or
that was my assumption.
I mean, dude doesn't die in his sleep at 48 because he's like the model of health, right?
Right.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, well, let's put it this way. They're running a toxicology report, and, you know, it was Scott Weiland.
And everything came up green.
Yeah.
This man is made of drugs.
They're like, look at all those check marks. No, that means it's there. Yeah. But, you know, that's not a good check mark. No. That's not the gold star you want.
He doesn't actually have a liver. He just has like a little plastic container where he stores heroin.
He's a prosthetic liver.
So who's left from that generation?
Good question.
Hmm.
Like what?
Grohl's still there. Pearl Jam.
Yeah, Grohl. Yeah. Yep, Pearl Jam. Yeah.
I guess Green Day is still making inexplicably popular punk music.
Yeah, how does that work? Although they're slightly later, right?
Dookie came out in 94.
Yeah, but wasn't Sex Type Thing like 90? Well, I guess so, 92 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The first half of the 90s just had a lot of great bands and albums. I mean, that's just the truth.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's super sad, but I don't think it surprised anybody.
No. Oh, Chris Cornell still around.
True.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Ooh.
I'll take it. I feel like he had a new project recently.
I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Oh, Soundgarden had another album back in, actually, yeah. That's been 3 years ago now.
Yeah, Soundgarden got back together. I don't know if it was any good. I never heard that it was good, though, so. And I never heard it.
I thought Chris Cornell was on tour in Austin recently doing solo stuff again, but maybe I'm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, he only plays Stubbs about once every other year. I think he just gets a hangry for barbecue, but worse reasons to go to Austin for the weekend.
Yeah, true. True. I mean, you and I saw, what, two of those or something? Oh, yeah. Shows? Three? I don't even know. It probably was two.
It was two.
Yeah, those were good shows.
I think there was a third one. We just didn't catch the announcement for it, so we missed it.
Sounds about right. Well, sad. What does one do?
C'est la vie.
Yeah. So, since we were speaking a moment ago about sports, let's break the NFL rules and tell what currently is in the game. Oh, so this game is not interesting, apparently.
There was like five turnovers in the first 2 minutes of this.
Yeah, Bowl. That was crazy.
It was like they just no one wanted to score ever.
Take it. I don't want this thing. Take it.
Yeah, it was football. Literally has syphilis on it. I do not want this.
Wow.
Yeah, like Pittsburgh's gonna win.
Bury that immediately.
Man, I'm kind of a little bit torn on the Rose Bowl because it's, you know, Iowa versus Stanford. What's a man to do? I got my home state allegiance versus my grad school allegiance. I don't even know, man.
All right, you buy a hat for one school for one team, and you hit your hoodies from the other. That's the answer.
Nice.
And then you lose the other one at halftime when you know who it when it's what that's going to say.
Nice.
Your course is clear.
I should just have a reversible hat.
There you go.
Stanford on one side. See, the problem with that is that it turns into a rally cap for the losing team. So, true. Like, it's a mixed message. I don't know if I could do that. There are kids watching. When is Star Wars? Like how?
December 18th, I think.
18th, huh?
Yeah.
How could you literally not know that, given how the media blitz for this film?
No. I'm out of town by then, so like I don't have tickets because I didn't know where I was going to be.
Yeah. But now I still don't either.
I'm going to be in Portland. So.
Right on.
What's
going on in Portland? I'll come down to Portland.
My younger sister lives there, right? But I was just thinking, I could like steal her car and drive up to Seattle.
This got dark.
And...
I could steal her car and drive it into the ocean. Yeah,
got you. Yeah, I could get some meth, steal her car. No. I could borrow her car, drive up to Seattle, and we could watch Star Wars.
Boom.
I could also come down to Portland. Meet you halfway.
I mean, do you suppose there's a theater halfway? I mean, if there is a theater halfway, it's probably like remote and you know, not very well. Not
and
very
Deliverance
fast.
Is playing.
can they play the Star Wars theme on banjos or? Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, I don't know how that.
You're a musician. I mean, get on this immediately.
Wait, you gotta tell me there isn't something on YouTube already that's Star Wars banjo.
I don't know. I mean, there is
Star Wars Deliverance probably on YouTube.
There is tractor music, which is the best.
Star Wars on a banjo. 9 years ago, 1.9 million views.
The internet delivers. Thank you, internet.
Oh, they've redone like a True Detective's opening with Star Wars too. Which is, you guys should watch that immediately.
Wait, first season? First season.
Yeah.
So you've, Ari, you've seen two episodes of the second season,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, the second episode where the dude, it ends with the dude being shot.
Ah, yes.
That's where I stopped.
Oh, how could you stop there, dude?
Because I was on a plane, the plane landed.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
No, I can't go. I need resolution.
FAA, to leave the TSA is dragging me out of the...
You don't understand.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I might watch that again sometime. I've got so much to catch up on, though. I shouldn't waste time rewatching things. Not that it's a waste of time, but just like since I haven't seen a million things. I should probably watch those.
I got you, though. I binge-watched Interstellar over the Thanksgiving holiday, and which is to say I watched the film in its entirety.
Oh, I was going to say, what?
Just over and over and over.
I love that movie, but oh my god, it's so long.
Yeah.
It does feel like I'm binge-watching one movie.
Yeah, that's actually that's one I still have to see, believe it or not.
See, oh wow.
I'm so far behind. Yeah. I'm ridiculously behind on movies. I have such a list.
Well, let me help you out. All Christopher Nolan movies end up at the beginning.
Sweet.
So just watch the first 5 minutes.
There was a sequel, not really a sequel. There was another movie made by the dude who made Primer.
I heard about this.
Like the paint primer? Or
no, there's a movie called Primer that's about time travel.
It will break your head.
It's super complicated. It's amazing. So there's the movie Primer, but so that same guy made a movie, this one's somewhat less complicated, but just as crazy. So apparently, like, in this movie, like, I want to say that there are a whole bunch of parallel universes bleed in from one parallel universe to the others, and that makes them go insane. And so, like, there are, like, these people in a cabin somewhere or a house or something, and, like, lots of clones of those people are wandering around outside trying to kill them or something, or very approximately that. So I want to say that that's by the same guy as the – I mean, it got okay reviews, and I'm down. I'm ready.
Weird.
I'm ready for poultry.
Oh, wait. Speaking of Christopher Nolan, did you hear that they're remaking Memento?
What?
No, I didn't.
Yes, they're remaking Memento. That is not necessary.
Damn it. Why? It's the worst.
Yeah. The remake is 5 minutes long. He gets an iPhone. Done.
Siri, what did I do yesterday?
Exactly.
It's one of those. Like the breakfast club. You can't miss it.
He just periscopes his entire day and then goes to his Twitter account, which is tattooed on his chest.
Nice.
And watches what he did yesterday. End of film.
While we're talking about Memento, I want to plug one of my old college buddies is also they made for a competition, they made a fake trailer for a sequel. It was a sequel to Memento. Memento.
Oh.
it's on YouTube and it's fucking brilliant. They did it up as like a buddy comedy.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like apparently that guy goes and like he has to be a roommate and it's hilarity ensues.
Man.
Go find that on YouTube, listeners. You'll enjoy it.
No.
I was gonna say something and I totally forgot.
How appropriate.
Yeah, right. Well, that brings us full circle, just like a Christopher Nolan film. Oh, no, no, no. I remember what it was now. And this will never happen, but if Fox does decide to, like, you know, make a cable film, they totally need to let Nolan do it.
Oh, my God.
He's made for that character.
They should let the Primer guy do it. He could almost do justice to that.
What are the odds of Cable showing up at the end of the next X-Men film, given that it has to do with Apocalypse and various other things?
One in one. Yes, it will be there.
I'd be down. I'm ready for a good X-Men movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I am too.
Sorry to be mean about it, but...
No.
This whole Jennifer Lawrence as like is she good, is she bad Mystique thing is just not working. And if I understand the problem, right? With that first movie, you know, 15 years ago now, they backed their ass into an excellently awesome character, so they want to do more with her. But she was awesome because she was like this unrepentant evil badass. This thing where she might be able to be redeemed it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I understand that they have a character that it, like I said, is better than they thought it was going to be. And then on top of that, they caught a future star actress at the right time in her career on top of it. But that's not Raven Darkholm the way they're running with her.
Yeah, but I mean, I think more people are going to be fewer people are going to be upset by that than right. So like, they basically don't give a fuck, right?
That would be me.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think the days when preserving the storyline took precedence are long gone, and at this point, it's basically just like, yeah, we got to make this movie make a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I still would hold that you can keep the original one-note version of the character and make a better movie and make, you know, therefore make more money.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, maybe. But like, it's hard to get the same like star power draw of Jennifer Lawrence if she's, you know, just this sort of single-minded evil person.
Well, then don't cast her as Mystique. She plays Jean Grey.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, how fucking hard is this?
I mean, Jean Grey is completely impossible 100% of the time. So like, extremely hard. But okay. Other than that minor fact, I'm with you.
I don't really understand what you said there, but it made me laugh.
I mean, it's just like every storyline.
Jean Grey can ever be. She's the anti-life equation.
Every storyline having to do with Jean Grey turns into like, I don't know. She kind of has the Midas touch a little bit.
The reverse Midas touch? I don't know.
No, the actual Midas touch.
The actual Midas touch.
This is a mistake that people make. The Midas touch is a bad thing. Right? That's the whole point.
Yes. You're saying she's a Cleveland Browns.
But there's no implied like surface level thought that it's a benefit and then it actually is a nightmare to have. It's just bad. No.
It's exactly like the Midas touch. Jean Grey seems to make things better, but she consistently makes them worse. That's what Jean Grey does. It's just
I guess I don't know.
Like,
I just
you're like confusing oh right sweet look at that Phoenix or yeah let's let's have some fucking level 5 mutant shit going on. No, always terrible.
Let me ask you a follow up question. That's might be interesting. So you all of a sudden, you know, Bryan Singer, they finally realized that this guy just doesn't. I'm not sure he ever had it. He sort of doesn't have it now. They're like, Riyad, here's X-Men. Like, what characters need to be in this movie? Beyond Cable, obviously.
What characters need to be in an X-Men movie?
Yeah, like, you know, who do you build that franchise around if you're making a movie? If Jean Grey is 100% impossible. Or whatever the hell you actually said. It was so good.
Jeez, I don't know, man. I mean, you have Professor X, you have Magneto. They clearly both need to be in it.
I would agree with that.
On the bad guy side, I mean, Mystique is clearly going to have to be there. Who else do we absolutely have to have?
I feel it's important that you have an X-Man in your film. Thus far, you don't.
Well, you know,
that school is empty.
It's okay. I mean, look, yeah. Look, we can have Colossus. He's
okay. All right, that's good. One
there you go.
Straightforward. I mean, we can't not have Wolverine, right? Because like,
yeah, man.
I agree. I you've got to. Yeah.
I want Scott. Okay. The problem is once you have Wolverine and Scott, then everyone's like, wow, now you gotta have Jean Grey. But no, fuck that. She's already dead. She's already dead, yeah. And we're in a universe where she just doesn't come back ever.
I mean, why not
we'll
make
Emma Frost?
There you go. Why not make Astonishing X-Men? Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men. Why not make that a movie?
That's fine. That yeah okay. Yes,
you just have to add a few more characters that weren't in that story.
Do you? They had a nice representation, and there was
no Mystique. There was Magneto. I don't think Magneto was in the first.
I don't think he was in the run at all. Yeah, which is impressive, by the way.
Yeah, no Professor X either. Frankly,
oof,
he was dead. I think. Maybe? No?
I can't keep track of where he's alive dead anymore.
Yeah, whatever.
Is he alive again now?
Yeah, he's alive again now.
Oh, God.
He took him back in a time rift.
And I think they brought the...
You're joking, but Cable did that.
And then he ruined this bird with his
anger. I invite you, as well as listeners, as an exercise in amusement and getting at my brain, to read the Cable entry on Wikipedia. It is amazing. I mean, you'll see that Christopher Nolan has to make a movie about this guy.
How long is it measured in lengths of the article about the invasion of Granada?
Yeah, that's the standard unit of measurement. It's just Granadas. It's just
Granada.
Like the Star Wars Clone Wars. The Star Wars Clone Wars article is like many Granadas. It's like deca Granadas. It's very long.
Did we ever, and this is going way back in the full of Sound and Fury archives, but we were talking about the potential recasting of Tony Stark somewhere down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Did we ever come up with an answer for that? Because I was thinking about it, and someone popped into my head that I don't love, but I think he kind of fits the criterion.
Okay.
So you want a guy who's young now, but in about 10 years will be about the right age, and he was a budding talent whose career went off the rails due to personal problems. And there is an actor that fits that mold. Be Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, God, oh, no.
Holy crap.
No.
Interesting. Very interesting.
He's about the same height. I could see him looking the part. He was someone that Spielberg handpicked as, like, you know, being like the next Tom Hanks before he made, you know, terrible films and pleasureized shit and turned out to be a total douchebag. But I don't know. I mean, the career narrative anyway fits, which is depressing, but I was never that into him, but
I thought you were going to say Macaulay Culkin.
No. Yeah, a little bit, right?
So did you guys see the thing where Shia LaBeouf was watching his own movies and like filming himself watching the movies and posting it somewhere?
Mm-mm.
This was like his latest social media experiment.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Have you seen the music video? Hold on. I have to find it now. It's good.
He's a musician now?
Oh, no, but there's a song about him.
Or if you want to go for another Tony Stark, and this would be fun as a kind of wink and a nod, let Chris Evans do it.
Oh.
Just roll him over to like the next Marvel role. And then in 30 years' time, he comes back to Captain America as old Steve Rogers, post Secret Wars.
Oh, wow.
So there's a there's a song by Rob Cantor called Shia LaBeouf, and it's fantastic.
Wow.
Among the lyrics are actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. So I'm not going to go any further, but it's amazing. Go just
No. Give me. I want the Shatner rendition here.
I can't. The song. I would ruin it. It's too good. But no, you have to like watch it on the. Yes. Good point. Point taken. But no, go to YouTube. Watch this. It's fantastic. It's freaking redonkulous. You'll be laughing your various parts off.
So current tally on this episode, we require people to go to YouTube and search for Star Wars theme banjo and also Shia LaBeouf song.
Well, let's make it three. Track three.
Oh, and Memento.
Oh, yeah, Memento.
Memento 2, yes, and that's so three.
We've already
things.
Got three. Yeah. Nice.
Well, that feels like a good recap.
I really wish that there were a way that we could stop them from making Memento. Like, maybe, I don't know, go back in time somehow and put them in a pocket universe. Is there some way that we could make a movie with Cable where we stop them from making the movie Memento?
How about a movie with Cable where they stop them from making a movie with Cable? That would be perfectly meta.
Yeah. That now my brain hurts.
That made my head hurt a little bit. I think that's appropriately complex. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. You know. Okay. Can I talk about the Sentinels here real quick in movies in the X-Men films? I mean,
please.
Why have we not gotten decent Sentinels in any of the movies? Like, you know,
like Sentinels in Day After or the Days of Future Past?
They barely did anything. Like, they're like the actual Sentinels, not the future Sentinels that were morphing and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
the Super Sentinels are the ones I was talking about.
Those were okay.
The Nimrod version.
Yeah. But, like, the actual giant robot, old school, like, they could have done a much better job. Like, it was just right at the end. Like, come on, we've had Ultron on screen now. There's nothing holding this back. This is kind of, I was disappointed.
The only place we've had those is in the Danger Room in, like, the second or third X-Men.
That was the third film.
Yeah, it was three. Yeah, it's disappointing. This could have been done much better.
There's a rich mythology there they should be drawing on, and Fox is just not doing it very well.
So, yeah.
But we're still going to the movies, and they're still making money, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think a major reboot is coming. Jackman's almost done with Wolverine. So there's your first major recast.
There you go.
Ian McKellen is 97, so you have to. Whatever the hell he actually is, he just looks 97. God bless him. I do love the man, but my God, he's old.
So who's the new Wolverine?
Here's another question.
He's short.
Who?
He said Shia LaBeouf.
Oh God.
Actually, hang on. Let me get the real joke answer out of the way. Ben Affleck.
Right.
Got to beat that horse one more time.
But you can't make a catchy portmanteau out of like Affleurine. Like, it doesn't work.
That's true.
LaBeouferine.
There you go.
Yeah. How about the. Never mind. It's
basically got to be an unknown again, right?
Yeah.
Was Jackman an unknown when he?
I think so.
I mean, unless you watch Australian daytime soaps, I think so. And I know I do.
Is there another Hemsworth brother that we can bring in to be?
Nice. It turns out the Marvel universe is just Hemsworth.
Or Chris Evans.
Yeah. Did you guys see the trailer for the new Huntsman movie? Speaking of Hemsworths,
oh God, Snow White 2, The Reckoning. Is that what the hell's coming out?
Seriously, there's a sequel to that movie. It's coming out.
Snow White 2, Snow Whiter.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You should check it out.
Does she get a machine gun at some point?
So there's no Snow White. There's only the Huntsman, but Charlize Theron's character comes back, and what's her name? The gal from Interstellar. Why am I blanking on her name? Jessica Chastain. She's in it as well as some like other warrior person.
Is she Rose Red?
I don't think they bill her as that, but
Stupid. good job. Obvious way to go with it.
I can check
Redhead.
I think
we need Snow White, but not Snow White. Pippi Longstocking. Let's do this. Wait, what?
It's called The Huntsman: Winter's War.
God damn it! What if
Civil Winter's War soldier?
They need to make it some sort of like space movie, really, like total hunter call. I don't even know. It's gotta have some.
Now you're going like Highlander 2, when they're like, you know what, this needs aliens. Wait, what?
Yes, the dark. Which one was that? Dark Prophecy.
The Quickening.
Quickening.
Right.
Oh my God, that one just never. That one just never happened, as far as I'm concerned.
No. Yeah, real quick, and then we got to get out of here. Fallout 4, why is it the best game of the year? Go.
Oh, well, okay. So as a person who loved Fallout 3, it's an easy sell for me because, like, I don't know. I love those. I love the way that the world works in those games. It's got the right mix of collecting shit and just, like, exploring and having fun. I like the fact that it's set in Boston. That makes it pretty sweet for me because I know Boston reasonably well, and so it's cool to, like, note it, to, like, see landmarks that are, like, things that you recognize. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like they didn't stray too much from the what worked really well for them in 3 and in New Vegas. They added just enough new shit to make it cool, and they put in a new setting that's fun. So, like, altogether, it's just a, you know, a nice, successful sequel. That would be my take. Ari, do you have a different take on it?
I honestly haven't played Fallout 4 yet, but that seems to be the case. It seems to be what everybody's saying. It's I mean, you couldn't have said it better. So it's definitely a Game of the Year contender. There have been a lot of open world games this year, so it's hard to kind of make a definitive number one, I would say. But yeah, it's definitely one of the best games of the year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know Battlefront appears to have been a really disappointing. I haven't played it, but and I'm, one of these days we'll get Key on. I know he's raring to call in on that, so to speak.
I mean, he has already said that it's like poor game.
I believe
were his words.
Rechristened it Star Wars: Run Die Run.
Are we sure? But are we sure that's not because he's playing with a bunch of 12-year-olds that are really good at first-person shooters? I mean, it's an online-only game. There's no plot, so you know, there's that
so
element.
Weird.
I don't know.
That's so weird. I mean, it makes like it's like almost cynical. It makes a ton of sense that you do it with a Star Wars thing because it's just like, look at all these things that you recognize. Pay us money to do them, and then like they don't bother to really do much other than build those things that you recognize. It's like 100% a comfort zone game where all they're doing is like getting you to recognize things and therefore spend money.
Yeah.
Makes me a little sad.
Well, I think also like Disney's basically telling everybody there is not a single thing that has a story that we don't approve. If you do not, like, only certain outlets get to do a story in Star Wars, everything else has to be some other non-plot, like no impact to plot at all. Type of activity or merchandise
item. Just make sure it makes money.
Yeah, just make money, bank on the nostalgia, put Darth Vader all over the goddamn thing, and that's it.
So are we going to get like Call of Duty, Harry Potter here in the year? is that going to happen?
I don't know. That's a good question.
is there an Easter egg yogurt flamethrower in Battlefront? Because that would be the best. The kids love it.
I love the random animated GIFs that come out of Battlefront now, where like a dude like runs up and punches an at and it takes down, like it completely crashes the deck. It has like one sliver of life left. The dude runs over, just punches it, and takes it down. Or like when like Luke, you know, you can play as Luke or Vader, depending on what side you're on or whatever, just comes around and like force throws a dude into a land speeder or something and like kills people. It's just like random crap like that. It's always entertaining. But I think overall people are pretty disappointed with Battlefront in terms of the quality of the gameplay. But
It seems I was really glad that Fallout 4 appears to have hit, because you know, Battlefront seems to have really underperformed. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I think, is like good, but not,
it's doing well.
It's like okay. I ship people again. That's good stuff. I have a Cockney accent. All right, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Metal Gear Solid 5 is still doing well. The Witcher 3 is doing well. Another huge open world game, and Metal Gear Solid 5 as well. So there's lots of those.
Theme.
Yeah, people are just pouring, you know, over 100 hours. There's a new expansion for Destiny that people are still playing. Everything is just these really long term.
What about Dark Souls? But it's not Dark Souls.
Bloodborne.
Bloodborne. That was doing pretty well earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did really well this year. Certain to be up there in people's Game of the Year lists for 2015.
I love the transforming weapons in Bloodborne. Like, I've only seen them on YouTube, but holy crap, some of them are awesome.
Yep, and there's a new Batman game this year that really pissed a bunch of people off.
It was a total fucking disaster on the PC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's why I'd already forgotten about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever did the port was like just insanely bad. And the result was like on the highest end machines, it would run at like 10 frames per second.
What do you want from me? It's got Batman in the box. Fuck off.
Well, so they voluntarily recalled it. Well, at least Steam was one of the distributors. Maybe not the only one. I don't remember. But Steam basically like gave everyone their money back. So that's how bad it was.
Hey, dudes, there was a StarCraft expansion that just came out.
Oh yeah, like it's a void.
Yeah.
I have not seen even...
I am not good at StarCraft 2, so that doesn't really matter to me, unfortunately.
I mean, I guess I'd play it, maybe, but oof. Yeah, that's...
Ever since the T and RTS stopped standing for time and started standing for Twitch, I just can't hang in those games.
Look, come on, man. Bro, you got to keep up your APS.
Exactly. Yeah, when you're on enough Ritalin, everything slows down and the time comes back to you. That's how it works.
Yeah. You got to have micro, you got to have macro. You got to be like on that drone patch all the time.
What I like Steph Curry of StarCraft, and I'm not the Steph Curry.
There you go.
Got to get that 9 drone build. Come on. Quick. cancel the breeder. Yeah, man.
I hate playing an RTS rep for 25 seconds. If I've clicked the wrong thing, I already feel like I'm fucked.
And indeed you are.
You wasted a click, you're effed. Yep. Here come the Koreans.
Yeah. Bro, you cannot pull off.
How does he have vindicators already? What the fuck? I'm out here harvesting my carrots.
Colossus walking through your carrot fields. Just
yeah,
like,
that's not cool, man. Or it's hard to plant those carrots.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad that Command and Conquer Generals is not.
Oh, man.
No, that game. Oh, my God.
Definitely the most racist game I've ever played.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it's close.
Okay.
Got to be up there. I mean, it's got super good. It's got like strong contender for like super racism against both Chinese people and Middle Easterners. It's super awesome.
Quick notice to the listeners, prepare for a musical interlude as I say something I have to cut out. 3, 2, 1. Okay, and we're back.
Sorry you missed it, guys.
I just remembered that thing you were telling about from ESPN. I was like, well, you can work that in there. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Kung Fu Conversation, Daryl Rodriguez. Is it back up just yet, or when was the reboot date?
So we're rebooting into a video podcast. We've got our first episode content kind of done. It's in the editing phase now. Cool. So I'm in the middle of that, but yeah, it's a little bit longer form content here, so we're taking our time with it.
That's cool.
It should be fun. We're gonna talk about this movie Invincible Shaolin. It's a Shaw Brothers film from the 70s, so we're gonna do a little voiceover on it and explain why we love the training sequences in it so much. So look for that in the near future on YouTube.
Cool. Yeah, looking forward to that dropping.
Cool.
And obviously. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. Riyad Wally of Stanford, California. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been Cyrus Mortazavi. My main site at the moment is riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. Feel free to leave questions, comments, or little forget-me-nots at that site regarding the show. We might talk about it, but... probably not. We're full of unsponsors here.
Yeah.
Leave
a dead bird in the comments or whatever. Sorry.
No, that's.
I just imagine that all of your listeners are actually cats. That's.
Yeah. I really hope they are. That would be great. This and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast can be listened to at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. This has been a Rising in production, copyright 2015. We'll be right back.